Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. You're going to be glad you hung out with us, too, because our good buddy Rob Jellis is back in the building, ladies and gentlemen, so to speak. Rob is a master corporate trainer and one of the world's experts on selling, on sales training, on speaking, on getting your message across, putting your best foot forward, connecting with people, all those things. He's the best. He's written so many books, I hurt myself carrying them in here to the studio, including the brand new one, which is becoming one of my favorites, Mental Agility by Robert L. Jellis. And he's just returned from Malaysia. And boy, are his arms tired. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
You just flew in, right?
That is one long trip, I will say that.
How long does it take to get to Malaysia from Virginia?
You know, it's not as bad in the air. I mean, it's about 14 hours. You're going to connect most likely through Beijing and maybe another five or six to where I went, which was Kuala Lumpur. But the tough part is up until daylight savings time, they're 13 hours ahead of us, now 12. So you really become a kind of a nocturnal animal while you're there. You're working at night and you're sleeping during the day, and that's the rough part.
Yeah. So did you fly first class or did you fly in the back with the animals and the hibachis?
Well, you know, I after 9/11, I really did back myself up into coach. Of course, I'm a United flyer, and so I'm a premier executive, and I get into that premier zone, which is nice. I've learned to really kind of like it there. My expectations were always diminished a little bit in business from what my clients were paying and the service
right.
I was actually getting. So I've become a creature of habit, and I took, I don't want to necessarily plug United, but I was in the premier zone of United's flights, and that's very comfortable for me, and I feel as if I'm not.
It's a little more room, isn't it?
It sure is. I usually fly business class for international flights, but it was part of the negotiation for this one, and
yeah.
I would always prefer it not come off my speaking fee if we're going to start dropping a little. Let's drop it off that flight to begin with.
Well, the only reason I'm bringing this up, folks, is if you do international travel, you know, there are certain things you need to know about where to sit. What you need to know, what kind of airplane you're going to be flying on. If you can't swing the business class or the first class where you got more room, there are certain things you can do. And one of the things you don't want to do is be in the middle of the center aisle of the jumbo jets.
No, you don't. But I want to tell you this. You know, I've written a book about travel.
Of course,
the fact of the matter is that
the way of the road warrior.
Thank you. The fact of the matter is I actually did check out the airplanes I was flying in online. They were 777s. I did take the aisle seat on the middle section. And, in fact, there I was sitting in a coach class ticket with four extra seats next to me, the entire row open.
Yeah.
So when those arms came up and five blankets and three pillows went down, I built myself a better bed than they had in first class.
You had your little nest there, didn't you?
Well,
you know,
that difference in ticket, by the way, was probably about $12,000.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, the first class business tickets are prohibitive for most people. But what we found is the outside and all these planes, basically, of the jumbo jets, the outside seats are two and two. I mean, two on either side.
Yeah,
and so if you're traveling with somebody, they're not as you don't have as much leg room as you got in first, but you're over there by yourself, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, no, I mean you got to take a look, and you know, you can as you're checking in, you can sort of look around and see what's full. But it begins, which is nice to be if you put a lot of miles on and to get into that premier zone. The coach section behind was completely packed,
right?
Because they're beginning to sell those premier zone tickets now. And so it's interesting. Anyway, it was a comfortable flight. And
what were you doing in Malaysia?
I did a series of seven seminars sponsored by CIMB Bank. And I will tell you that in 22 years in the business and 15 on my own, it was probably one of the two or three most rewarding experiences I ever had.
Wow.
And I say that because every session that I delivered, and I'm not knocking my American experience, that's where I make my living, but in America here, I have to fight, claw, and scratch to hold that audience and to build utilities and let them know what's in it for them. And in Malaysia, when I said it was 4:30 and I wanted to make sure I got them out on time, they would stand up and say, please don't leave. We're in no hurry. Stay as long as you can.
They're
we
hungry.
We want to learn as much as possible. They were an inspirational people.
They're hungry.
It was a wonderful trip.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want Rob to tell us a little bit about what he saw in Malaysia. Because, you know, whenever our Brain Trust members take a trip, I'd like for them to come back and tell us what they found in other parts of the world. Because, folks, this is where your future business is going to be coming from. Remember, Americans, 95% of all the customers on planet Earth are not in the United States. 2012, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Outside the pull of gravity, beyond the spectral veil, within our gathering, the thing we search to no avail.
From the Innocent Age album, ladies and gentlemen, that's Dan Fogelberg, the late, great Dan Fogelberg. Nexus is the name of that song. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz.biz. Check it out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. Get smarter. Make more money. Be more successful. Be happier. That's our goal, right? All those things. And somebody who helps us pull all that off is our good friend Rob Jollis. He's been doing it now for a long time. He's been a member of our Brain Trust for many years. His new book is called Mental Agility, and he's just returned from Malaysia. And Rob, now that we've got the travel aspect out of the way, talk to us about what you saw in Malaysia. What's going on over there? What does the marketplace look like over there?
Oh, wow. It's really a very progressive society. I mean, I've been to a bunch of European countries, too, and I kind of expected that I was going to be walking back in time. You're not walking back in time. I mean, one of the first things you'll see is their twin towers, which were actually are the two, in terms of twins, the two highest buildings in the world.
Yeah, the big ones. What do they call those? I've forgotten.
I think they call them the Twin Towers. I'm sort of scribbling some notes when you put me on the spot and said, tell us what you saw. I normally, by the way, and I don't want to disappoint your Brain Trust, I normally don't see as much because when you travel for a living and you're working, my goal is to get the job done and get home. But you're not going to go to Kuala Lumpur and not see things. So what the company did was my seven seminars were over a kind of a two-week period. They built a weekend in for me where they sent me on a formalized tour on one day, and then the second day, some of the people that I was training took me out from morning till night, and that was very unusual for me to actually go sightseeing, quote unquote, and I loved it. It was wonderful.
Well, by the way, they're called the Petronas Towers.
Yes, that's true.
But so, what was the business climate like? What did you think of the business people there? How much different were they from us?
Not different at all. As a matter of fact, they really like to. They seem to be willing to learn as much from the West as possible. There were a couple speakers at some of the major conferences that I spoke at, and they were Canadian and American. Typically, these people are like sponges. But I mean, you go to their shops, their stores, their restaurants. Absolutely immaculate. They are. I know this is strange to just generalize. I've never been to a happier place.
Yeah.
Everybody is smiling. Everybody, when people come up after the seminar, one of the first things they say is how happy they are to see you. This is not a depressed society over there.
Mm-hmm.
They eat constantly, little small meals, and you don't see a whole lot of heavy people, so there's obviously a message in that.
Right.
I will tell you that if you go there, you have to really watch the spice. I think I lost about 5 pounds in the first 6 days.
Wow.
Not because I wasn't trying to eat, but because even the fruit, everything I tried, had a spice in there that would just wipe out your appetite in bites. If you go to a Thai restaurant in this country and you get something that is mildly spicy. To them, there's no spice. The spice it's meter triples there.
Well, now, what do you think, if somebody's listening right now and they're saying, I wonder if there's any export opportunity in Malaysia. I wonder if I'd like doing business over there. I wonder if I would, if that would be a good place for me to look into an opportunity. Because one of the things we do here a lot is we talk to people who help business owners in America export through the U.S. Commercial Services Division of the Commerce Department. We talk about all the services that they offer. What would you recommend that someone look into Malaysia?
Well, you know, boy, do I not want to be jump into an area where I'm not an expert at. I like to talk about things I know, but I know that they export their oil, their coconut oil, pardon me, from the trees. I would say maybe because they don't export a whole lot.
Not from a product standpoint, but just from a business standpoint. Do you think that sometimes if I want to do business overseas, am I going to like those people? What kind of people are these people?
I think now I understand your question. I think they are. Wonderful. I would caution one thing, and that's this, and I don't like to generalize, but it's just from working with the speakers bureaus that do a lot of contract work with them. You have to always remember it's a cultural difference between the two worlds, which is the way they negotiate is they're very shrewd negotiating people, and you can respect that and think wonderful things about it, but you better watch yourself, too, because they will define negotiation differently than we will, and we may see things as almost borderline integrity issues, which they will not. And
right.
So right off the bat, I mean,
Western ethics is not Eastern ethics.
No, it isn't. So little things like, I never bill a client before I go on a seminar, but they were billed and the money was deposited in the bank, in Bank of America. Before I jumped on that plane. That's not an ethics issue. I want to watch my words. I'm just telling you, you have to understand that it's just a cultural difference. There's nothing personal about it.
Right.
So
no,
really
it's that's one of the things. That's another thing we've talked about on the show before is the what you and I consider to be certain levels of ethics. It's not that they feel that they if and I say they, I mean other parts of the world. It's not necessarily Malaysia. It's not that they don't think that they've done anything wrong. If you let them do certain things, they think that's part of the negotiation.
Absolutely.
They honestly don't understand why you wouldn't be their friend afterwards.
That's exactly right. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah, that's it. And so you got to remember, folks, Western ethics is something we hold dear, but it doesn't translate the same in other parts of the world. You can't be naive about these things, and that's a very good lesson that Rob just gave us. Tintil. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
See the dog and butterfly. The faster we run, the further away the dreams that we chase become. Lost in the sun, spinning and turning, blind in the burning.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good buddy Robert L. Jalas. Rob is the author of Mental Agility and also The Way of the Road Warrior, also seminars and workshops and the seminal work on selling, folks, customer-centered selling, something under a billion copies sold worldwide. Rob, how many languages has it been?
We're talking about ethics here, so easy there.
But no, I was correct. I didn't say anything wrong. Something under a billion.
All right.
It's true. How many languages?
Good news on that, Jim. It looks like Simon & Schuster and I have come to terms, and customer-centered selling is going to go into a new edition, new launch, new cover, clean it up a little bit. That's my favorite of every book I've ever written.
What have you heard me say on the show before 100,000 times, folks? No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience.
Okay.
Congratulations, Rob.
Thank you. I'm going to enjoy that chopped liver. I'm really pleased with my publisher. It's a book that
I don't hear that often.
Well, the tough part about writing a sales book when you put your heart and soul into it and you're process oriented is just because 8-10 years go by doesn't mean you've changed your mind.
Right.
So sometimes it's difficult to say, I'd rather not rewrite it. Could I just modernize it? Could I just pull
right.
out a few things that date it? But that, I still believe you got to ask questions and listen. I still believe you need
the
to
The fundamentals of selling have never changed, never will change.
No. I had people give me books from the 1915s that had ask questions and listen on the
Absolutely.
First page.
Human beings are human beings. The only difference is you're emailing them instead of calling them these days. You're IMing them instead of faxing them. I mean, it's just the technology that's changed. The way we deal with it. Look, John Nesbitt said it so succinctly 25 or 8 years ago, and it's I quote him every week on this, Rob. Well, no matter how much high tech we have, we'll still want high touch.
That's very good.
And that's what you were just talking about.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one other thing I think that may have helped ink the deal. When they finally said, well, we really want a new one, I said, okay, then I have my title. We're going to call it Going Back for More Cash because that's all I'd be doing. I'm not going to be sharing that many new ideas, so
right.
I'm really thrilled that Customer-Centered Selling will get a new launch and it'll come back on the bookshelves a little bit more
prominently. We expect to relaunch it on our show, by the way.
Good. That would be wonderful.
We're talking earlier. By the way, give us your website and tell us where your books are available.
www.jolles.com, and the books are available in bookstores or certainly Amazon or any major online bookstore.
Check them out. We were just talking about the differences between Americans and other folks across the globe. You've just gotten back from Malaysia. We were talking about the difference in ethics, and it's really important for Americans and really any Westerners. But I think Americans are probably more naive than other Westerners, like Canadians and probably Europeans. We're more naive about how other people behave in other countries, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, let me give it to you a classic example that may help your audience a little bit. You know, the first meal I sat down to eat at was at a Thai restaurant, and there I saw the people I was with who were very sophisticated. I was with the CEO of the bank, who took a big piece of chicken, poked it with his fork, held it upside down in the air, and began to gnaw off of it. And I said to myself, oh, my God, I cannot believe this. And I realized, wait a minute, you're not in Topeka, Rob Jolles. You're in Kuala Lumpur.
You're not in a tea party.
Poke that piece of chicken, pick it upside down, and start gnawing on it.
You're not in a tea party in Topeka, right?
Right. And I think that's what we're talking about in terms of negotiation, in terms of dealing with these people. Don't look at it as an ethics issue. You're the one they'll see is not ethical.
Right.
This is the way they're negotiating. You're in their land right now. And
well, so, you know, industries. We have industries in this country where ethics are defined differently. There are certain things in certain industries that if you don't do those things, you won't survive. And it's not nothing illegal. They haven't done anything wrong. It's just that's how that industry operates. But you take those same ethics and move over to another industry, and those people will be appalled at that behavior.
Yep. You know what, Jim, another example. When they created a contract, we created a contract together. I signed my half the contract. I sent it to them. They signed it. And when it came back, it had a couple of extra paragraphs in there that actually was reducing my fee by certain ways. And when I contacted them, they said, oh, would you like us to take that back out?
Oh, my goodness.
And
good
I
for
said,
you.
Yeah, and they went, okay. Now, from our desk, we'd say ethics issue. From their
exactly.
desk, they'd say you should probably read your contract.
Negotiation, yeah. Dealing in good faith might be out the window when you're dealing with some people.
Just show me the rules.
That's right.
It, and then I'll play by those rules.
Really, really good stuff today, Rob. Thank you for being here. Good job today.
Pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Rob Jolles, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're back home, by the way. Rob, safe and sound.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.